And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I am Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And Jeremy, this is episode 82. This is a very special episode for us because this is our first episode that we are actually broadcasting in our own podcast studio, in our own house.
Yes.
Ampersand Studios is what we're calling it.
Yep. We are broadcasting from Ampersand Studios today.
Live from Ampersand Studios. It's the Deuce Podcast.
We should probably add that to the live from the Ampersand Studios.
Let's not be like that. Don't be like that. Why do you gotta be like that? is episode 82 of the Deuce Podcast. This is very special because we recently have purchased a house and we had an extra room. So we've made ourselves a podcast studio. Yeah. And we are broadcasting this episode. This is the first episode we are doing that in. And we are doing Paddington 2. This year had Paddington 2, 2018. And this is a doozer of a movie, I would say. Is doozer a word, or is that more of a Fraggle character?
It's a doozy of a movie.
Not a doozer, you know, but hey.
It's a doozer of a movie in that it built a framework of clear structures.
So this is the second in the movie of the Paddington series.
Yeah.
First one, I think, came out in 2016.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
Nicole Kidman in it. This one doesn't have Nicole Kidman. Although they were talking about having Nicole Kidman in this movie.
Did she play Sally Hawkins' character?
No, she played the bad person, the antagonist in that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I guess she was, because I've never seen, you and I have never seen Paddington 1.
No, which I was disappointed that I never did, because... So when I was a kid, I grew up with, I watched, there was a Paddington that used to show, I think Pinwheel or something like that on Nickelodeon.
Was it Nickelodeon? I just thought it was like Babar and like after that and like HBO or something.
Was it?
I don't know.
It was like a stop motion Paddington. But yeah, all the people were made of like paper,
yeah,
like flat paper drawing things, and he was the only thing that was like three dimensional.
Kind of, yeah. But I didn't know where they broadcast that. I really thought it was like HBO. It wasn't Disney, because Paddington is not a Disney thing.
No. It wasn't Disney.
Was it Nickelodeon?
My folks wouldn't have sprung for Disney when I was a kid.
No, that's when you had to pay for Disney.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Nancy, an operator here at the Disney Channel. We hope you're enjoying your free preview weekend. Stay tuned for newsies.
Yep. Let's see. Episodes aired on PBS, on the syndicated series Romper Room, on Nickelodeon, on Pinwheel.
On Pinwheel, okay.
And on USA Network, it's a segment on the Calliope. Series.
That's why I know it from the USA Network.
See, and I knew it from...
Our babysitter had USA.
Yeah, I watched the shit out of Pinwheel when I was a kid. Pinwheel,
too, yeah.
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 And did I watch Romper Room? I think I watched Romper Room.
Everyone says that they were on Romper Room. Was that like a local thing? I know so many people that say they were on Romper Room.
But they had... Romper Room had a bunch of localized, like, versions of it, I think.
Like, what do you mean? Like, Romper Room Midwest? Wampa Womb? Wampa Womb? I can't even say Romper Room. It's the new studio that's screwing me up.
What? Yes, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yep.
You can blame everything on that.
Totally what it is.
Yeah. So if I sound like an idiot in this episode, it's because I'm an idiot. It has nothing to do with our new studio. No.
It has to do with the fact that you're very excited about it.
I'm very excited about this. I'm also very excited that we're doing Paddington 2.
Yeah.
Is the same director from Paddington 1 is directing Paddington 2. I was super excited about this movie. It is on a lot of people's top 10 list of the year of 2018.
Oh, yeah.
If you can believe it, I do not think that the trailer for this movie does the movie itself justice.
Well, and the trailer is
because it looks like
adorable.
Well, the trailer is adorable, but it looks like it's going to be annoying. Like, this movie's going to be kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Like, kiddie maybe. Annoying.
Yeah.
And it's not.
It makes me think of, like, Stuart Little.
Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, how Stuart Little was kind of shaped up.
Yeah.
But It's much more than that.
Is that so, the kid from Jerry Maguire? Was he in Stuart Little?
With Jonathan Lipnicki? Yeah, he was in that.
I meant to ask him that when he was in Omaha for O Comic Con.
Dude, I'd be afraid to ask him anything. He'd probably kick my ass. Kid went from like freakish whatever to yes, like ripped.
A human head weighs 8 pounds. So do your muscles.
A human head weighs 8 pounds. I'll rip it off and hand it to you. Oh, I'm John Lipnicki.
I'm John.
I'm taking it back.
Just like anything, we are off the rails. But you know what, Jeremy? We might be off the rails, but we're no phonies.
No, we are not.
And you know why?
Why?
Because we're part of the No Phony Podcast Network. I say this every time, like, you don't know what we're talking about. Did you know that we joined a network?
Did we?
A long time ago.
What? I'm
happy about that network, because those are awesome people. Check out everyone on No Phony Network.
So, I mean, they have something for everyone on there.
They
so,
do.
I mean, we...
Something for PJ, for Squee.
For Squee and PJ.
Both of them.
But no, I mean, we have, there's things about politics, things about politics, music, comics, you know, we have true crime stuff. We have, people looking at the Bible. We have, I mean, we got all sorts of stuff on there. Yeah. So
who's the feature podcast?
I don't know. It's one of our weirder ones.
One of the
It falls into I think, one of our like comedy category ones.
I don't even think that doesn't go for comedy.
You don't think it's a comedy?
No.
Really?
It's too weird for a comedy. What is it?
I think it's called ABC Douchebags.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
So ABC D-Bags is a featured podcast. And I was lucky enough to be able to sit down for just a quick interview with one of the people from ABC D-Bags.
You were. This is breaking news to me.
Yeah, yeah. Look, can we air that clip? I don't think we
have time to air that. We got
a second to air it.
Okay.
Hey, this is Jeremy from the Deuce podcast here with Bradley from the ABC D-Bags. Thank you for being here with me today. I appreciate it.
Okay, are we really doing this right now? Is this what we're doing?
Yes.
Okay, no.
Aww.
Okay, we are dropping the deuce on episode 82, right, of Paddington 2?
I guess.
Okay, yeah, we are. Let's do that.
All right, here we go. Okay. Paddington, of course, has settled down with the Brown family. So
I'm doing great. How are you, Jeremy?
Oh, fine.
You are interviewing Bradley D from ABC D-Bags. No, you're not.
No.
Oh.
We've passed that. You ruined the bit.
But how ABC D-Bags of me to ruin that?
God, that is very ABC D-Bags.
Okay.
Now I'm all over the place. Real quick, though, ABC D-Bags, they're in their third season right now. Please go check them out. They do quality product. And each season has its own flavor, so you really got to stick it out.
Each
through all
episode
three of them.
Has its own flavor.
Each episode in and of itself has its own flavor, but each season has its own kind of story to tell. So make sure that you're sitting through all of the seasons. So it's pretty easy to binge and catch up. How long did you say it would take to listen to
season one? About 12 hours to listen to the whole thing, and about 13 hours to listen to season two.
Yeah, so not bad.
I mapped it up.
Not bad.
I'm going to guess season three is a little bit longer.
Yeah.
From season what we three, have going
season
on.
Season three would probably be a little bit longer. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's you got time to catch up, and then you'll be able to get into season three, and then you'll be there right on track for season finales and jump in with season four.
But we are doing episode 82 of the Deuce podcast.
We are.
Yes. Sponsored by Cheez-Its. Cheez-Its. They're cheesy. It's. All right. And go ahead. Drop the deuce.
So, as I had previously stated, Paddington settled in with the Brown family. The family, it's from, I presume, the first movie.
Right. It's always been Paddington Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's lives with, it's Henry Brown.
Henry Brown.
Played by Hugh Bonneville.
Hugh Bonneville. Yeah. Yep. Very British. This movie is full of British people.
And there's people who take bit parts just to be in this too.
I really think, like, if you were to go, hey, what is the most British movie of 2018? It's Paddington 2. Am I right? I mean, come on. It's pretty British.
And the previous year was Phantom Thread.
It was Phantom Thread. So eat your mushrooms, everyone. And anyway, so this is Hugh Bonneville, who's a very, like, character actor.
Yes.
Like, you've seen him. You might not know the name, but come on, once you look him up, you'll be like, that guy.
Honestly, he's probably the person I'm least familiar with.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember him with, like, in a wig in some movie. You know, like a jury or a judge wig.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of thing.
An arbiter or whatever.
Yeah, that's what they're called. Sorry.
So there's Hugh Bonneville.
Yeah.
And he works for an insurance company, like some sort of risk management person for an insurance company. Yeah. He is married to Mary Brown.
Right. Fresh off her Academy Award nomination from The Shape of Water.
Yes. So, Sally Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins.
And
fresh off her honeymoon with her fish husband, Sally Hawkins.
Well, and interestingly enough, there's part of, they talk about that she has these aspirations to, she must be like an author. Or yeah, something like something that. Like she that. Has aspirations to swim the English Channel, swim the channel basically between England and France.
Yeah.
So she has been practicing for that, but she wants to get out and do these things after staying cooped up for like 6 months working on her last book. Then they have their kids. Judy and Judy Brown, who is played by Madeline Harris. Wubba Wubba Wubba.
Wubba Wubba Wubba.
Oh, it's Julie Brown.
Julie Brown.
Damn it. I don't know why I was thinking Judy.
C6M, Wubba Wubba Wubba. Hey, Julie Brown here.
It's their other daughter, Julie Brown. She's downtown. She's not in this movie. Anyway, but the.
You're listening to the 90s online on SiriusXM, Julie Brown.
Whoa. But Judy Brown, played by Madeline Harris, she is their daughter who, she's got a kind of a little bit of a proud, rebellious streak to her, but she's very headstrong, very independent.
She found a printing press.
Yes, and she started a paper.
Like investigation journalist kind of thing.
Yep, she started her own newspaper.
It's a really good montage
for women only.
Like through the, you forgot who the voice of Paddington was.
Yes, I'll come back to that.
Yeah, through that, and they kind of introduced all the characters to us, and kind of the exposition dialogue that we've come to know for these sequels. Yep.
And so she runs a printing a newspaper after she found a printing press. It's published only by women. Just for everybody, but she was not going to have it be a boys' club, so she kicked him out, basically. Yeah. Then they have their...
I think it's called Lilith Fair Weekly. No?
Yes.
It's not? Okay.
Yeah. Then they have their son, Jonathan Brown, or J-Dog, as he likes to be called.
J-Dog.
This one, played by Samuel Joslin. Mm-hmm. The kid is a big fan of steam engines. J-Dog is, but he's at that age now. He's in, which I guess would be whatever our equivalent of high school,
right?
But he has steam engines aren't cool, so he keeps putting together or like building steam engines in his room, but then he has to hide them away and he forbids everybody else to tell anybody about
it. Now, there is a character in this movie that they did not tell you about. They actually have a older sister, named Divine Brown, which that joke is funnier once you realize who else is in this movie.
It is true.
She's a prostitute.
Go on. and there's also Mrs. Bird, who is the Brown's housekeeper, played by Julie Walters.
Great, wonderful, love her in everything you do, including Mamma Mia.
Yes. And
The Harry Potter. All these people are like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Cloud Atlas. There's a lot of people that were in that have worked together in this movie. That have worked together before.
Let's see. There's also, and of course, this is all being told to us by Paddington, who is voiced by Ben Whishaw.
Mm-hmm.
So Paddington is living with the Browns, and obviously, you know, they're doing very well. Their lives are pretty happy. I think they at the beginning are talking about how Mr. Brown is up for some job promotion, but he got passed over. But instead of letting things get him down, he instead decides he's going to, like, take up yoga and just live his life a little bit freer than he did before and not be, you know, such a button-down kind of, you know, Mr. Banks type character.
Yeah, what's great about this movie is that the characters themselves are in a good position. Like, they are healthy characters.
Yes.
Right? They're not like, you know, nothing bad has happened to them. And so they're learning new things that will eventually come and help them in their journey later on in the movie. And I quite enjoyed that because they did that in kind of a genius way. Like, it wasn't like force-fed to you, you know, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
You just are like, oh yeah, now this character is going to use his superpower to help.
Yeah, not like in a Signs kind of way where it was like all of a sudden everything was just very like everything happens at once.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like it was, you know, they wrote the script purposely. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, so Paddington, as much as he's loved in his home, he's even loved throughout his the neighborhood, Windsor Gardens, where he lives, like in the West End.
I think my dad drinks that. Oh, that's Windsor Canadian.
That's right. Windsor Canadian. The drink of Paddington Bear.
Or my dad.
Get marmalade.
Where's
flavored.
My cocktail at? I forgot my cocktail.
Brian?
No one's even going to get that joke because they don't know my dad. But hey, whatever. Well,
somebody does.
Yeah.
So he's very loved throughout the community, and he's helping other people around there. I don't have time necessarily to go into, like, every actor that's in there.
No, I don't think you should, but, like, there are some actors that you might mention.
Yeah.
You know, the girl from Spaced?
Yeah, like, she's there.
Acting goofy, as she always is in every movie.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, there are tons of people in there. the guy who was on, I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I believe he's on the garbage truck, he was from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
I think so. I think
and he from was. Snatch, he was in that. That's where I recognize him from.
Do you think Paddington 2 is just an extension of that movie universe? So it's like an extension of Guy Ritchie's universe of Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels?
No, because this was really good.
Okay, gotcha.
So, I love those movies when I was younger. Upon later rewatches, I'm like, oh, okay.
Who should have been in the prison? Vinnie Jones should have been in the prison. I would have loved that.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just I'm watching Arrow, but Vinnie Jones should have been in the prison with him.
That would have been great. That would have been good. Or he should have been something out and about on
something.
The town. So, and then of course, in the town, you also have like the town D-bag. He's the neighbor who kind of runs the neighborhood watch and bosses everybody around, played by Peter Capaldi.
Capaldi, yeah, Doctor Who.
And he plays a good D-bag with that too. So,
yeah.
Although maybe that would have been a good Vinnie Jones role. Who knows?
I was thinking of the guy, the tough guy in prison. Do you know what I mean?
Knuckles?
No, okay. Not Knuckles. The other guy that was all like, I can make a strawberry shortcake, whatever.
Oh, no, that guy was perfect.
Okay.
Paddington is turning people's lives around. He's cheering them up. Like, he goes out and he jumps on the back of the one woman's bike and brings her marmalade sandwich in the morning. shares the sandwich
it's,
with them.
It's a positive attitude, bringing a positive experience into a world that needs more of it. And that's what this movie does.
Well,
and it doesn't do it in a ham-fisted way. It does it in a wonderful,
yeah,
delightful, whimsical way. And that's why I love it.
Well, and this opening scene, like, it happens so quickly.
So quick.
Because it's like, he jumps on the bike, hands the woman the sandwich, and she's like, oh, thanks, Paddington. And he goes over, hey, Mr. So-and-so, like, do you remember your keys? And he goes, my keys? Oh, man. And he catches the door from before it closes and locks him out. Then he jumps onto the back of the garbage truck and is helping a guy study while they move.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. I mean, you can watch this for a second time and go, oh, man, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and because the thing that you're talking about where...
Yeah.
All these people who are kind of said, like, here's the things they like, and we're going to end up revisiting them later in the movie. Mm-hmm. The same thing is happening in this scene,
yeah,
but you don't realize it.
You don't know it
until a little bit later, and I'll touch on that scene, yeah, when it happens too. But he's seeing all sorts of things, and you see the there's a general or whatever. There's a general who's a character who is kind of dour and everything else. Well, even Paddington still is trying, and he's just chipping away at, being nice to this guy, basically. But now he's part of London. He loves it. So he makes his way over to Gruber's antique shop. Samuel Gruber.
Gruber!
Gruber!
Gruber! Antique shop!
Played by Jim Broadbent.
Stop a bomb. Oh, yeah, Jim Broadbent. Yeah.
Who has defused many bombs.
Yeah. Again, was he a Harry Potter? No, he was in Cloud Atlas. But was he in Harry Potter too? No, he wasn't Harry Potter.
No, but he was in Moulin Rouge.
And Nicole Kidman was in Moulin Rouge. She was in the first one. So, yeah, yeah, there you go. 6 degrees of Paddington Bear.
There you go. So, I do. I think it's 6 degrees of Brendan Gleeson. I think that's
it. Probably is. It really is.
Yeah. So he goes to Gruber's antique shop. Basically, Gruber's like, Mr. Gruber's like, hey, I think today's going to be a good day. We can keep looking for a gift for your aunt, for Aunt Lucy.
Yeah, Aunt Lucy.
And actually, at the beginning, I forgot about that. At the very, very beginning. Huh? There's like this little, there's a short scene,
yeah,
of two older bears sitting on like a bridge. It's Aunt Lucy.
We call them polar bears, Jeremy. But they're not. But go ahead.
It's Aunt Lucy, who is voiced by Imelda Staunton, and Uncle Pastuzzo, who is voiced by Michael Gambon. And they're talking about eventually making their way to London because Aunt Lucy's always dreamed of seeing it. And they're planning this vacation, and they have marmalade sandwiches. And so, of course, Uncle Pastuzzo's like, if you got this, I'm there. Like, if this is what they have in the city, I'm all about that. And as they're talking... Aunt Lucy sees in the water like a cub on a log basically coming down river, and it looks like he's going to go over this waterfall. And so she dives, is trying to lower herself down to get to him on this rope, and Uncle Pastuzzo's holding it. She ends up diving to get him because she's going to miss Paddington, or the little bear who later is Paddington. So he's saved by Aunt Lucy and Uncle Pastuzzo, and that's how they raise him themselves. So they put off their trip to go to London. In the meantime, Uncle Pastuzzo has died. Aunt Lucy is he says 100 years old, which I don't know.
That's in barriers, Jeremy. We all know that she's 100 years old. She's actually 72, but don't tell anyone.
Okay. Perfect. I don't know why I'm like stressing about the age of this bear because they are talking anthropomorphic bears, but
when you say that, this is why, like, I wasn't too much of a fan of Paddington. I mean, I watched it, like the cartoon itself.
Yeah.
But I always find it, this movie didn't do the same for me, but I always found it weird that here was this talking bear that just lived in London, that lived in the city, that no one questioned how he could talk or any of that.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this movie, I did have that same feeling, but once you get swept up into the movie itself, you forget that that's even an animated character. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just figure it's just part of the cast.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a credit to the movie.
Well, and I love the way Paddington looks in this too, because
I do too.
So I always thought Paddington was kind of a schlub. He was kind of this
and it was hunched over, felt like he was slower, like slothy.
Yeah, like he was slow and stupid, kind of, or like, you know, just kind of slovenly.
Yeah.
But I don't get that with this. He's just curious and he's kind of naive of the way things are. He's a little clumsy, but has the greatest of intentions.
Yeah.
But I love the way he moves with stuff, because they really must have studied the movements of bears.
Of bears?
Because he really moves like when he... Yeah. Yeah, it's anthropomorphic, but there's times when he stretches his neck to look at something or does whatever, and it looks like a bear. It doesn't just look like a person. It looks like a bear who's doing person things.
Right. And when he wore that harness, it looked like a bear night at a bar. Oh, wait, never mind. That's wrong thing. Raw bear.
So anyway, Paddington, he is looking for this perfect thing. They get a trunk from this, it's like a carnival that's coming to town.
Yeah.
And they're going to sell some of this junk off, you know, and see if anybody, they can make a few bucks that way. And so Mr. Gruber's going through the trunk with Paddington looking for a gift for Aunt Lucy. He's like, well, hey, here's this thing where it's like a monkey that swings around. Nope, that's not good enough. And then they find this pop-up book of London. And Aunt Lucy never got to see London. So Paddington says,
this is perfect.
This is perfect because I can give London to her, since now she's, you know, older and she won't be able to make it out. So we'll give it to her.
Can I tell you, this is the first, this movie surprised me in many levels. This was my first big surprise when they opened up the pop-up book.
Yeah.
And he's inside the pop-up book himself.
Yes.
And the animation changes and the animation is really good. And I loved that kind of mixture, but it didn't take you out of the human universe.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Didn't feel but it brought you into something. Do you know what I mean?
It was fun, but not gimmicky.
Yes.
And sometimes you get that stuff and it's very gimmicky.
There's no,
when you switch back and forth between different animation styles. And this was, so what happens is he opens the book and he imagines, there's on this one page, there's a ship coming in. And he's you know, I could give this to her, you know, or bring London to her. And he's zooms in and you see Aunt Lucy on the boat with all these other pop-up people.
Right.
And they have this whole sequence where he is with his aunt, taking her around and showing her London while he is... all while it looking like it's in the pop-up book.
Visually, this is one of the most stunning movies of the year, visually wise. I was in awe of it. I'm kind of mad we didn't go see it on the big screen, because it would have been really nice.
Oh, I'm sure. It'd have been gorgeous on the big screen. But yeah, it's, you know, he's doing all of this and it looks great. It doesn't look too cartoony or remind you you're looking, because at this point everything's animated that you're seeing on screen,
right?
But it doesn't look like that. Even the stuff that's the pop-up stuff doesn't really look like CG.
No,
it looks like
it looks real.
Yeah, it's great.
It feels real.
Yes. And so he's like, this is perfect. And Mr. Gruber says, well,
it's $1 million.
Well, they never say how. Yeah, they never say how much it is. Yeah. But he goes, there's a slight problem.
Yeah.
Because this book, this traveling, whoever it was, she used to make these in every city that she went to. She would just make one of them. So they were all unique. So this is a one-of-a-kind item. So the price on it is pretty huge. And so he goes, well, you know, you might try the monkey thing again. Of course, Paddington is like, nope, not going to do that. But So he goes, I'm not going to do that. He's like, well, can you hold this for me for a little bit? I'll earn the money, Mr. Gruber. I know I will. And I will bring that to you. And he's like, yeah, okay. So he puts the book aside so that Paddington can get a chance to earn enough money for it. And so,
like, every role that Jim Broadbent like plays, it always seems like he just woke up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, did you just wake up? Like, his hair is all sticking up and it's all like, oh yeah, my lines are this. I love him, but he's just like, that's kind of like the character, and I love it.
Yeah, he's this kind of like German, like eccentric kind of guy. Yeah. Paddington, we get this another montage. He's trying to earn money. And so, like, he gets a job at a barber's, like some barber shop. And so he's sweeping the floors. He's supposed to be just cleaning the place. So he's cleaning up, and while he's cleaning up, the guy who owns the place takes off. He leaves. He's got to go do something. Paddington is going to get into trouble. You just know he is. So he's working, and a guy comes in, an older guy comes in and sits down. He's like, hey, I need a haircut, just a little off the sides and this and this. And he goes, no, I just clean up here. And he goes, yeah, we'll clean up my hair a little off the sides and some in the back. Like, that's, you know, what I said. And he's, you know, chop, chop, let's go. And so he's like yelling at him.
I think he said chop, chop.
Yeah, did he say chop, chop? Yeah. And so he's yelling at him to do these things. And, of course, Paddington's like, nah. So he, like, kind of looks over at the tools. And he grabs the scissors. And as he's doing that, he accidentally flings them. They stick in the ceiling. He gets the... there's this cute bit where he gets the... he picks up the clippers and turns them on. And so he starts, like, vibrating with these clippers.
Okay, yeah.
And you can see, like, the vibrations going through his body. But it was done so well with the CG.
Conti was his name.
Okay, the judge.
Yeah, the judge from he was in The Dark Knight Rises. He was a prisoner.
Oh, okay, So Paddington is like oh my gosh, oh, and so he starts like vibrating across the floor, and like he's spinning as he's doing it very slowly, which is wrapping the cord around him. He's kind of moving and bumping into things. He answers the phone. He's trying to hold that, and he's trying to get off the line. And I mean, it's just like all these things are happening. And finally, he starts vibrating towards the guy who's in the chair, and it looks like he might accidentally cut his hair. And then it stops, like the cord is plugged in, but it stops him from moving. And then just when you think everything's okay, the cord tugs a little bit more and it relaxes the chair back, and it cuts a big strip because the guy falls backwards in his chair right past the clippers, and it cuts a big stripe down the middle of his hair.
Now, if this was any other like director, like let's say this is a Tim Burton, this scene would have not worked for me, because I feel like he wouldn't have gotten the comic tones down or the pauses, or it just would have been gimmicky. But for some reason, it works with this director and it works for this moment in the movie. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, ah, yes. It was really funny when he starts vibrating.
Yeah.
Starts spinning around. It puts a smile on your face.
When I saw this, it makes me... let me explain this to you. It made me think of, like, custard. Because, like, to make things like that...
Like General Custard?
Yeah. Okay. To make things like that, you have to, you know, it's very slow starting. You have to wait for things to thicken up. You know, it's like, it's a slow process to get there. And the scene, the humor in it is just unfolding slowly. Like, it's a visual thing, but it's happening slowly. In other movies, he'd have been bouncing off the walls and like
it just
things would have been shooting everywhere. Yeah.
Everywhere. And I'm like, ugh, America, you ruined everything.
And it's but it's a slow movement towards this punchline.
It seems very British, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
To do it that way.
Yes.
But it works so well.
It does. It was amazing. I love it. And so the guy falls back and Paddington's like, oh, no, oh, no. And so he's like trying to figure out what to do. So he can't get the hair to stay on anymore. Yeah. So he takes marmalade and spreads it on there and then sticks the hair to it. And he is like, there you go. And so the guy sits up. And of course, they don't let you get away with it. So the guy sits up and then he feels it. And he goes, what is this? And he goes, marmalade. He's like, well, hairy marmalade. And of course, the guy's irritated. And then the owner gets back. Mr. Giuseppe or whatever his name is gets back. He's like, Paddington, what is happening? And he's like trying to lick the marmalade off the guy's head. And just then, I think the clippers blow or something blows out. And then all the sprinklers go off.
Yeah.
And so he gets fired. But God, like it's not even that long of a scene, but it's like, I mean, really.
No, it kind of sets up a lot.
But it's such a slow burn, but it's such a great way. It's not, it keeps your attention, but is... you know, moves at the right pace.
Yeah. So now we're at the carnival, right? We're
going to the carnival? No.
We're getting there.
Getting there. So, but at this point, he's earning money. Right?
He doesn't get the idea of window washing until he meets Hugh Grant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're at the carnival. Yep. Yeah. So the Browns take him out to the carnival. So the Browns take him to the carnival, and he is... basically he's trying to just have a good time. So everybody's there. It's the steam power. It's like a steam carnival that comes every year.
Ooh, steam carnival.
Yeah, so it's like run by it has like a steam organ and whatever it is. But of course it's the carnival that
there's punks there. It's a steampunk carnival.
It is. It's the person who sold
there's a
the
boy
chest
there. It's a there. Steam boy. Go ahead.
So then, they're going through it, everything, and they have this like big
grand opening hoo ha.
Yeah,
and there's a celebrity there trying to endorse it.
Yeah,
right, to drum up interest of the carnival,
yes,
or to bring in people, and it just is played by Hugh Grant, who's this kind of washed up actor
named Phoenix Buchanan.
Phoenix Buchanan, which is a very great villain name, by the way.
Yeah,
Phoenix Buchanan.
Yes,
and he's an actor. Who's done a lot, but then kind of hasn't done much lately, and has just done dog food commercials.
Yes, he's been doing dog food commercials, and of course, he's doing this, trying to do this kind of like faux magnanimous thing where he's like, "Oh, well, you know, I want to bring one of you up on stage," and so he ends up bringing up Paddington.
If you were to tell me which one of these is the cartoon character, I would have told you Hugh Grant. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seems like he's more cartoonish than Paddington. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like in a fun way.
But also like in his name is the weirdest. Like it doesn't fit with everything else.
May I say,
Phoenix Buchanan.
For your consideration, Academy Awards, Best Supporting Actor. Come on.
Yeah.
I actually really did enjoy Hugh Grant in this.
Oh, yeah.
And like... I really think that the stuff like this doesn't get, you know, nominated because it's a kids movie or it's a comedy. But I really thought like he was really good in this and he deserves some kind of recognition.
Oh yeah, I agree. Completely.
This is one of his best performances and it's in Paddington too.
Yeah.
If 5 years ago, if I would have said that, you know, to you, hey, 2018, Hugh Grant's going to be... you know, have a great performance in Paddington 2, you would have laughed at me.
From Cloud Atlas on, I've thought that Hugh Grant has done an excellent job.
Right, has been like, making choices that I thought he would in the 90s. You know?
Yeah, well, he had all these years where it was like he's in these rom-coms.
Yeah.
And now it's like these things where he's kind of like, oh, I get to break free and do what I want to do. And these roles that are like crazier that he gets to take more chances with. Mm-hmm. I love it. So... basically he was like, you know, if we could do anything for you, little bear, you know, like, what was it? What is it? And so he says, well, I'm trying to get this pop-up book for my aunt. And he starts talking about it. And all of a sudden you can see that Phoenix Buchanan is very interested in it. So he's like, really, tell me about this book. And so he tells him what's going on with it, you know, how much he wants it. And he was like, well, you know, you might just have to, you know, earn that money. Or, you know, he asks him where it is and everything. But he's like, you know, oh, yeah, you could try like window washing or doing these other things. And he's like, okay, okay. And so he, we have a montage where Paddington is going around the neighborhood and around the city washing windows, you know, and some clumsily getting to where he needed to be with it. But right, pretty soon yeah. he has it down pat. And so he goes from...
But even then in his escapades of washing the window, even though it's a montage and even though it's very quick, I'm very surprised by some of the choices that they made.
Yeah.
Like he goes up the pail, like the scene with the pail.
Yes.
And he can't get the pail all the way up there. So he takes a rope and then he knocks down the flower pot. And you're thinking, that's it for the flower pot. But then he, you know, falls down on the flower pot. It's just like everything is so whimsical and so great, though.
Yes.
But everything is not taken for granted.
Right.
Everything about this movie is very meticulous and how, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anything can surprise you at any moment. And
yes.
It does.
And it's, you know, again, it's not like, you know, in a, I mean? It's not like in a madcap way.
Mm-mm.
It's like watching something like that in slow motion and just being able to appreciate the kind of mm-hmm. beauty of the nonsense that's happening.
Yeah, the humor of the situation.
Exactly.
Instead of, you know, the weirdness of it all.
Yeah. And he even goes to wash the windows of, there's like a Colonel Lancaster is his name, who lives on the block. And we've seen him before. He's kind of, Colonel Lancaster is kind of depressed, I think is the deal. And Paddington goes, well, I can wash your windows for you. And he goes, I don't want it. Just leave me alone. And goes back inside. And Paddington sits there for a second and he goes, I should do it for him anyway. And
yeah.
So he starts, you see, there's, oh my God, it's this great scene. So you see inside of mm-hmm. the house and you see Colonel Lancaster sitting just in his armchair and he's alone and the windows are all just dirty. So you can't see anything. There's like no light, really, hardly any light in there. It's just all gray and drab and he's just by himself looking depressed. And you see Paddington come down, like kind of, you can see his silhouette. It's so dark, you can't see like his full
yeah.
body, but are so dingy.
Yeah.
But he starts cleaning like this little spot of the glass. And you see the light and color just slowly start to come up on Colonel Lancaster. And it's just... It's just like almost like him coming alive.
Right. And credit to the actor, he also, his body language changes
yeah.
too with it. So it's wonderful. And then he goes to the window and sees the magazine newspaper stand.
Miss Kitts.
Spaced girl.
Yeah. Miss Kitts, played by Jessica Haines.
Yes.
From Spaced. Or Jessica Hines, I'm sorry,
Hines.
From Spaced.
She always plays kind of a goofy kind of character.
Yeah. Sean.
Yeah. Sean. She's Sean of the Dead.
Yeah.
Sean.
And so, you know, it's, he goes over there and sees Miss Kitts and is like, oh, okay. And kind of waves to her and she waves to him. Miss Kitts has a parrot because why wouldn't she?
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just this very like, it's this very beautiful thing. Like, and he's so depressed and you just see the life come into
yeah.
him. That actor, Ben Miller did an excellent job.
Yes.
So, but Paddington, you see him.
But we could be all more like Paddington because also that was like self, you know, selfless.
Yeah.
What he did.
Yeah, it was. And of course, at that point, Peter Capaldi's character comes in and starts yelling about Paddington being on the house, you know, doing all this stuff. And of course, the colonel, The Colonel Lancaster basically tells him to go to hell. And he just, Capaldi's character just hates Paddington. So, but he's like, he's not hurting anybody. He's doing this for me, so leave him alone. So later on, the Paddington is, can't remember what, if he was just going there to like get the book or what the deal was, but, or he's just walking through town.
I think he's just coming back from washing some windows or something.
Yeah. And so
decides to, you know, just, he's coming back home.
Yeah. And so he's, I think he's, oh, he's like, look, he looks through the glass at where the book is.
Yes. I think he just looks
just kind of like longing for it.
Right. Just and, like anyone would for a pop-up book that you're going to give to your 100-year-old bear aunt. Correct.
Correct. Yes. Who hasn't been there?
Yes.
So he sees somebody climbing in a window upstairs, and he's like, "You're not Mr. Gruber." And so Paddington breaks in to try to stop this guy, and of course, the guy who looks like a bum just runs direct to where the book is, manages to get downstairs, go to where the book is, and take off running. And he gets on a bike and starts just riding away. Right. Paddington, he has the, I think it's Wolfie, like an Irish wolfhound that he helps clean up and take care of. And so he's riding him, trying to hunt down this guy who stole the book. But of course, the police only see Paddington running from the scene. So they're all trying to catch Paddington instead of the real guy who is the perpetrator. So Paddington manages to eventually corner this guy after this whole like chase through London, and he manages to track him back to their street in Windsor Gardens.
Yeah.
And of course, he's like, I have you now. And the guy goes, oh no, you don't. And he throws down like a smoke pellet and basically disappears. So when the cops show up,
close-up magic does it every close, time.
Yeah, they know. There you go. And the cops show up and they arrest Paddington then.
Right.
And of course, they're dragging him away when everybody in the neighborhood is watching, and they're all like, "Oh no,
oh no,
it's Paddington." They all love him,
yeah.
Except for Peter Capaldi, except who's Doctor like who freaking
doesn't
out.
Give a shit. Give a crap, Doctor Who? Do you? Huh? Come on.
Yeah, he's yelling, and I'm all like, Doctor Who cares? Anyway, so
I'd rather deal with it.
No, go ahead. So, Dalek. We then cut to
exterminate Paddington. Exterminate.
So we end up seeing
the trial scene.
Yes. So we get to we have a scene where
where we know that it's
the bum is in this room full of like costumes, and he starts basically peeling his face off, and of course it's Phoenix. So yes. He Phoenix Buchanan. It was him all along, and he almost like has this weird multiple personality thing. He like talks to these characters he's been.
But even though that happens really fast, you can tell the difference between all of them, which is so great.
Yes. Like
it's so wonderful.
He responds to them.
Grant is so great in this movie.
Yeah, he does a great job.
Where he talks himself.
Yeah.
Like it's Gollum, but it's like five different versions of him.
Oh, yeah.
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 Precious. No.
Yeah, he does. Oh, we got him now, boss. Don't
shut up, Macbeth.
Yeah.
Or Hamlet. Yeah.
Screw your courage to the sticking place.
Yeah.
Or to the sticking post.
Yeah.
So no, it's now he does a really good job with that, but then he starts looking through this book and he starts pointing to like in each page you like see a like a little ballerina. Yeah. And we don't know what that is yet, but we're like, okay, we'll figure it out here soon. So we have the trial scene. So they told basically Mr. Brown told Paddington you know, hey, as
speak
long as, you know, as long as, you know, you're young, you're innocent, you've never done any things wrong. As long as you have a good judge or, you know, a semi-decent judge, you'll be fine. And when the judge comes in, you realize it's the judge who got the stripe of hair shaved down the middle of his head. So not looking good.
At first I didn't because he's wearing one of those wig things.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they kindly reminded me that it was him.
And so they were like, well, they're trying to call these witnesses up, and they show, they have a sketch of who they said it was, and it looks like it looks like who it was supposed to look like, but of course it's just a costume, so nobody connects that it's Phoenix.
And then they bring Phoenix up as a witness.
Yeah, because it was right outside his house.
His house.
And so they bring Phoenix Buchanan up, and they ask him, like, what did you see? And he recounts that he didn't see this other person. All he saw was Paddington and the dog.
Except this guy's got wonderful eyes. He's very attractive.
Oh, yeah. And so, basically, you know, he's looking at the drawing, and he says, like, this person who has magnificent eyes, you know, he keeps commenting on it. It should be a red flag, but, you know, it wasn't.
Judge sentences him to 10 years.
Yeah, it's his go-to.
Which seems pretty harsh for breaking and entering, and I don't know. I don't want to do anything bad.
No, he said when you see him in jail and he's getting booked in, they said it was like 10 years for, like, it was like breaking and entering, grand theft, and it was like crimes of by Barbary.
Oh, okay, whatever. So the guy was just being a dickhole and giving 10 years.
For this hair. So in prison...
That seems legit.
Yeah, right? So in prison, but it's not much worse than what we sometimes put people away for, too. Or don't put people away for, I suppose.
No, let's get to the prison, because we're in love with every prison scene in this movie.
We are there.
Okay.
Which usually we are.
No, but you know, but come on.
No, we
a bear in prison?
What? So we are in prison now, and Paddington is kind of, you know, he's just innocent. He's sad. He goes up and he's just looking at the rain outside his window in his cell.
He decides he's going to make the most of this, too.
Yeah.
And like, you know, the first day, he's just like, how are you? And he's like, you know, the people are like mean to him because he's in prison.
Yeah. They're grumpy and everything like that.
They're grumpy because they're in prison.
And so as they get up and they're filing down the stairs.
Yeah. They give him duties like you're in, you know.
Yeah. Whatever. And he gets assigned to laundry.
Yeah, laundry.
Yeah. So he's in the laundry. And
a pile of clothes kills him.
Well, yeah, he hits a button.
It was like whoa,
clothes drop from the ceiling.
A lot of clothes that just dropped on him. But I was like, oh, okay, but okay.
Well, okay, so the clothes drop from a hatch directly above where the button is. That seems very weird.
like the only gimmicky kind of really thing that I had.
Yeah,
I was like, ah,
the prison was designed by Wile E. Coyote.
It was.
So he gets all the clothes, and of course he comes out, and there's like a red sock
that's stuck to his head.
Yeah. And so he's going through and he's getting everything organized. He's getting all the clothes cleaned.
They're in they're in their regular uniforms that are just striped,
like the black and white stripe.
Yeah, like the Cookie Crisp crook.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. And they all have their little hats.
Yeah, or like a Beagle Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so. So they're running through the wash, and then,
and not to be confused with Human Beagle Boy Josh Gad.
No, because Human Beagle Boy Josh Gad.
He's not in this movie, but I'm just saying Human Beagle Boy Josh Gad.
No, he was too busy being Foo or whatever.
But he really does look like Human Beagle Boy.
He does. I mean, Human Beagle Boy Josh Gad was doing other things
every time I see him. But go ahead.
So, Paddington, he has. As he's going through everything, he was holding on to the red sock because he didn't want to throw it in the wash. Well, of course, then he realizes he turns around and he sees it in there, and he can't get the door open to get the sock out of there. And he's like, oh no, this is terrible. And he goes, well, it's just one little red sock with everything else.
Yeah, what's it going to do?
What's it really going to do?
Cut to the next scene.
Yeah, and everybody's wearing this lovely shade of light pink. So everybody's outfits have been stained pink.
Everyone except the chef.
Yeah, except the chef. Well, they sit down to lunch, and you get there and they're eating some sort of gray slop. And he's like, what is this? They go, we don't know. We eat it, you know, every day for over a decade, you know, morning, noon, and night. But nobody will tell the chef.
They don't give you marmalade here, but I really like marmalade.
Yeah, and he's like, nobody will tell the chef what's going on.
We get it. You're addicted to marmalade. I think this whole thing is the fact that Paddington Bear is addicted to marmalade.
He is.
And he can't go a day. He's jonesing for that marmalade.
Have you had marmalade?
No.
Okay.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't think you like it. You told me it's not that good because I wanted to get it.
No, I...
The other day.
You I were do like, want to get no! it again. Watching this makes me want to try some again.
Okay.
But also...
Ivy it is. Let's go.
But the other thing is like the marmalade he always has, and it was like this when I was a kid and with this, it always looks good. It's very like gelatin-y. And
yeah.
Like,
I always wanted marmalade when I watched Paddington.
Yeah. And, but the marmalade that I had was always very... it was almost like dry. It was like it was more peel than, you know,
okay.
the gelatin piece okay. of it. So maybe that would be.
So Paddington.
Yeah.
They challenge him to go talk to the cook.
Yeah. They basically are like, yeah, go ahead and go and talk to the cook and challenge the cook. Whatever. Yeah. Knuckles McGinty.
Played by the wonderful.
Brendan Gleeson.
Brendan Gleeson. Yeah. Everything Brendan Gleeson does, I love.
Yeah. And, he's tough. He's like, oh, you want to critique me, do
it's
you?
It's Brendan Gleeson.
You want to complain, do you? And so he's, Paddington's like, no, I don't want to complain. I just thought maybe like I could help you or give you some constructive criticism. And of course he's saying like, oh, you know, oh yeah, I just love that. I love this, you know, being sarcastic with it. Yeah. And Paddington goes, oh, okay. Well, it's a little gritty and it's a little lumpy yeah. and, you know, this and this and this. And
Paddington is very overly optimistic about yeah. everything. So he doesn't quite understand.
Yes.
I mean, someone like that doesn't understand sarcasm because I'm going to assume sarcasm is in the vocabulary of Paddington Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think so. And so, of course, Knuckles picks him up like he's going to hit him. And he's yelling at him. And the sandwich, the marmalade sandwich that Paddington always keeps under his hat, ends up getting jammed into
the
mouth.
That's what I'm saying. He's addicted.
Yeah. He gets jammed into the mouth of of Knuckles, and he's like, what is this? And he's like, "What's it's marmalade.
I always thought like all British people just drank tea and ate marmalade. That's what I thought, because the only kind of British thing I knew was Paddington Bear. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, to have him go, what is marmalade? I'm just yeah. like, no, I thought every British person likes fruitcake, marmalade, and tea. Yeah. I don't know, that's just me.
I thought marmalade was French.
Is it?
I thought.
Maybe.
Marmalade.
Really? Marmalade.
Anyway.
Music break.
So. He's like, I know how to make the marmalade.
If this was like Tim Burton or like, you know, like an American director or someone, we would have gotten like a crap ass version of Lady Marmalade. Like at the end of, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Something stupid like that.
Yes. So he's just like, well, it's marmalade. And he's like, my aunt taught me how to make it.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, tell you what, if you can make, can you make more of this? Yeah, absolutely. And he's like, okay. You're under my protection now. So, like, hey, everybody, like, don't even think of touching a hair on his head.
Like,
he's with me.
Great.
Yeah, and the guys who thought that they were going to get him in trouble were like, yeah. Oh.
A lot of the scenes of this are very, in the prison, are very kind of Wes Anderson in yeah. a way. Kind of Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yeah.
In a way, but I love it.
Yeah.
So, a lot of this movie is kind of like if Tim Burton and Wes Anderson did a kid's movie.
It yeah, you know that's kind of what I mean? Yeah, that's kind of what it reminds me.
And did
me
it well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, so he ends up working with Knuckles yeah. to make marmalade.
Now, meanwhile, the Browns at home are trying to figure out. They're trying to free Paddington.
Yes,
you know, like free Tibbit, free Tibbit,
Tibbit,
Tibbit. they're handing out flyers. The girl Brown, I can't think of her name right now. So she's girl Brown. She is
Jane.
Jane Brown. Yeah, Jane.
And no, Michael.
Judy Brown. Downtown Judy Brown.
It is Judy.
Yeah, Downtown Judy Brown, because I remember that joke earlier that you bombed. Anyway.
It happens.
So they're trying to, like, see if they can free him or get any information on who was the one that actually stole the book.
Yeah.
Right, by putting up flyers. Or
yeah, they're trying to, they're posting it all over. The whole family is.
There's a nice little, like, where they put him in the shape of Paddington's name.
Yeah, J-Dog puts him up in the shape of Paddington's name.
Cute and fun. Yeah. But every time we were in the prison, I wanted to go back to the prison because I had more fun in the prison.
Yeah.
Do you know
and,
what I mean?
And Paddington's looking forward to, and like, he keeps talking about that visiting day is coming up soon.
Yeah.
So he's excited about that. Now, we get to the scene where he's making the marmalade. And so, yeah, there's a bit with, like, the oranges where he, Brendan Gleeson, Knuckles isn't going to help him at all. And so he's like, you better get to it. So he's trying to get all the oranges down in those bags. So he's pulling them down and he goes, he's like, move one at a time. Paddington goes, okay. And you see Paddington moving back and forth going, one, two. And he's like, oh, this is taking a while.
We don't see him. We hear him.
Yeah. And you see, because you're looking from the perspective of Knuckles. And you see, like, one little orange up, and then you see, like, over the top of the paper, and it slowly is coming down, because he's like, what?
What?
And he's bringing them over one orange at a time. He's like, I mean, one bag of oranges at a time. And so he, they all come over there. He, they have this really good moment about where they're, because he's basically saying he's not going to help. They start talking, you know, they kind of talk about, like, cooking and all this other stuff. And Paddington's talking about his Aunt Lucy, about how she's the one who taught him how to do this. And she's so great and this and this. And Knuckles goes, she sounds like an idiot to me. Like, she sounds blah, blah, blah. And, like, starts bad-mouthing. And he goes, like, I beg your pardon. And then starts going about his business. And then he trash talks Aunt Lucy again. And Paddington turns around. And this is the first time the bright background behind him starts getting dark. And yes. Like, he's got this angry look on his face. Like, everything, the brightness is just getting sucked out of these shots. And it goes, you see him looking in his eyes all crazy. And it goes to Brendan Gleeson, who goes, is it very hot in here? I think it's hot in here. Did I leave the oven on?
Yeah.
And he's like, obviously, like, kind of scared about it. And he's like, what is it? What are you doing? Why do you look like that? And he goes, it's a long, hard stare. My aunt taught me how to do that when people are being not very nice, whatever. And his face goes back to being nice. But it's kind of that moment where he disarms him a little bit.
It's almost like that's how Paddington would get upset.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if ever there was, like, a moment.
Yeah.
You know?
He just stares disapprovingly.
Because he's not, there's nothing, you know, mean about Paddington. There's nothing sardonic about him. He's just very, like, the way he is.
Yeah.
And to have that scene in there is kind of fun.
Yeah.
It kind of shows him that, you know.
Well, he says,
can get angry too.
But. He says, you know, my hands aren't made for this. Nothing as terrible as me can make anything as wonderful as that marmalade. Yeah. And he goes, we'll do it together. I'll show you. He goes, you know, you might have these big, strong hands. He's like, but that'd be perfect for squeezing oranges. And so they go through and they're making it together. And they have this
it's almost like
cute little
Paddington
montage.
Paddington gives people purpose. Like,
yeah.
he reminds people why they are here.
Yeah.
And which so is they wonderful because we need more people.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's a bear, but we need more examples of that in the world, you know, especially with Trumpiness or Brexitness, that to have this movie come out,
yeah.
you know, around this time is quite wonderful, you know.
Yeah.
And to have kids see this and that, you know, have an example of that is wonderful too. But what I like about the jail scene where it's almost like they're redoing the whole jail because everyone loves Knuckles' new marmalade menu.
Well, even beyond that, so they get the marmalade. So they have the montage of just him and Paddington making it, and it's a simple montage because it's just at the three sides of the, like, cooking counter. Like, it keeps rotating and showing them doing it through different steps. But, like, they get it done. They give it to the people. And then Knuckles won't even look because he's scared. And Patton goes, just look. Let's just see what it is. And you look and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's so great.
And then it kind of turns a little crazy because like everyone's like, let's make cookies and cakes. And,
well, he goes, well.
And redo the whole.
He goes, what's for dessert? Like, do we have pudding? What do we have? And he goes, what? You know, this is all you get. You'll like it. Yeah. And then that's the only thing. Paddington's like, that's the only thing I know how to make unless anybody else has a recipe. And like one after the other inmates then are like, well, I know this recipe. I know this recipe.
I get that. Like, and I love the whole fact that like all of a sudden they're changing the whole jail. Like, yeah. I love that whole optimistic thing, but it's almost a little too optimistic, too saccharine.
Yeah.
For like real life.
Yeah, but for this, for the sake of this movie,
it's fine. But yeah. Like for, you know, in general, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's cute. Don't get me wrong.
It is. And so like everybody works together. There's more people working in the kitchen. Yeah. And then the tables, instead of being like the long tables, turn into almost like bistro tables.
Yeah. And it turns out that, you know, they befriend Paddington.
Yeah.
Because Paddington has brought all this positive, fun, you know, environments to them in an otherwise gloomy situation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're like, we're going to help you. You know, we're going to help you find out because we know what a crook is. So we're going to find out for you because the Browns, they won't figure it out. They'll miss one visiting day and then they'll miss another one.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that's one of my favorite scenes, and I'll talk about that later. But it is one of my favorite scenes where he's talking on that pipe. Right. Yeah. And he's talking to Brendan Gleeson's character and then the other characters about that. Now, the director didn't have to do what he did, but all of a sudden they show kind of go inside the pipe as he's talking. And then you see Paddington. I thought that was really clever and really like fun way to see his like expression of like, oh, crap, maybe this will happen where the Browns will leave me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they did it in a fun way instead of doing it in a, okay, this pipe over here. Okay, show this pipe over here. And instead, it's kind of like you were brought into, slowly, like you said, into that emotion, which I liked. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. And like the family visits and they say, hey, we're on to something.
Yeah.
You know, and like.
And they are.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But and like their whole discovery thing, it's like, okay, but.
But every time that we went back to the Browns, I wanted to go back to the jail because I had so much fun in the jail.
Well, and they, but some of, there were some good things in the Brown scenes though, because like that's where they were like, why would the guy run from here to here? And they're talking through it. But instead of like redoing whatever, it blended it with this like really nice ink and paint animation.
Oh, yeah, that I liked.
Yeah.
But again, another surprise.
Yeah. And it was like, wow, that's neat.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you just didn't expect it. It was good. And so there's some good things in there. You know, they visit, of course, all the other prisoners are there, too, because they want to see him. You know, they're there to help him. The family keeps working on this, and they've managed to figure out. Back at home, they've managed to figure out that they were showing the drawing to Phoenix Buchanan, and he says, you know, the I don't know this guy with the stunning blue eyes, you know, I don't know, I didn't see him, and she's like, I didn't tell you his eyes, it's a pencil drawing, and he goes, oh, I must have just put that on him, yeah, that's not, I don't know, I was just guessing.
Yeah.
So now Mrs. Brown is suspicious. And so she tells her husband, and they're like, we need to figure out what's going on. They come up with this big ruse to get into his house to see if they can find the book. And they do break in, but they manage to find just all the costumes. And they realize the costumes match up with people who've been breaking into all these locations that were listed in the book. So they're like, oh, it's him. It's Phoenix Buchanan. And so they go to tell the police. Of course, police can't do anything. But the flip side to that is, while they're doing all this, they miss the visiting day for Paddington.
And that frustrates Paddington. And so he decides to take Knuckles up on his offer.
To escape. Yeah. So another good, like... visual thing.
Oh, God.
There's this montage of them escaping where they all, at a certain point, they open up the hatch in the floor and they jump through simultaneously. Yes. And they're, I mean, it, the whole thing just visually stunning.
Screams Wes Anderson, though, but
it does.
But it does. But also it's like, it's his, it's this director's own. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even though that kind of looks like Wes Anderson, it's not.
Yes.
You know what I mean? This is very much an aesthetic environment of Paddington Bear.
Yeah.
And they bring it to light very quickly and very wonderful.
Yeah.
But I love the hot air balloon that they build.
Yes.
The yeah. colors in that are great.
Yeah. And so they manage to get away.
Yeah.
It's Knuckles, Spoon, somebody, and I can't remember who it was, and yeah. Paddington. But they take off. They manage to land at this like facility, and the three of them are like, "Okay, we're out. We're not." And he's like, "I thought you were gonna help me, like solve this and do whatever." And he's like, "You know, we gotta go. They're gonna arrest us and put us back in jail if they catch us. So I don't want that.
I don't want it."
So they decide they're just gonna leave. And he's like, "You lied to me. You promised me." And he's like, "Sorry, Paddington. That's the way the world is." And so he. They take off.
But we made lemon tarts together.
Yeah. Also, so the other thing is, that was, I think I forgot to mention that. The whole book thing, it's tied to like a missing treasure.
Yeah, it's like a treasure map.
And so they figured out that Buchanan is trying to do this because he is out of money. And he will, use it to finance his play about... I think like where he plays all the characters.
Yeah, it's just a one man
show. He's so narcissistic he won't work with anybody else, basically.
Right. Right.
But Paddington, we have a scene also like back on the street. So the opening scene where he was like helping everybody and it was this like beautifully like well choreographed kind of montage. Now like Mrs. Brownells gets hit by the woman on her bike and she's like, "Get out of my way." She's
yeah, like sorry. Everyone's all grumpy. It's very
I'm angry when I don't have my breakfast. Even which is what Paddington was giving
very,
her.
Like, dark,
it's drab. It's yeah. Like the life is not there because he's not there. So Paddington is still trying to figure everything out. You know, the family, they end up they figure out, okay, the last place we have to go is Paddington Station to be able to...
Hey, that's the name of the bear.
It is, which is why he had the name. So they were going to Paddington Station because that circus was leaving town and they needed to, you know, basically get there to stop him from getting all the loot. So, and to catch him red-handed with the book. So they're chasing him down. Paddington boards the train just as it's leaving, and so then the Browns are like, "Well, what are we gonna do? Yeah, how do we get there? You know, all we can't follow them because they took off on the train." And so then J-Dog goes, "Hey, I know how to run one of these trains. Like, I know how this works." And they're like, "Whoa, J-Dog, you're gonna do this?" And he goes, "My name is Jonathan, and I love steam trains." It's like, okay.
Yes.
So,
and I'm going to steal one.
So, yeah, they take seems a train kind of, and chase after
seems him. Like Jonathan maybe should kind of get some punishment for stealing a steam train.
No. It was all
in the name of Paddington Bear.
Yeah, and who's going to be mad at that? So they basically know,
the people that run the train, Jeremy.
Yeah, the people who are supposed to ride on it.
Yeah, the yeah.
So what we do? Like, so they're taking off, and the like the judge is on board.
Yeah, the judge shows up. The judge shows up throughout the movie.
Yeah,
and the bad things start happening to the judge every time the judge is on.
Of course,
it's like Porky from Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
The guy that plays Porky, he always runs into him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like dirt always drops yeah. on him or something happens to
yeah.
him. Yeah.
So they're chasing down in the train and Buchanan manages to get the or is like opening the organ where the treasure is hidden. Paddington is trying to get down the train, so he's like using candy apples.
That was, you know what? It was great because you see where it says candy apples, and you're like, what's he going to do with these?
Yeah.
Throw them at him? Like, what's he doing? And then when he uses them to walk on,
yeah.
I thought that was so great.
Yeah. Perfect. And again, earlier, they show him getting stuck to him. That's, you know, so it worked here too.
Yeah, it worked here.
His candy or his taffy apples, as they call them. So
some of the British call them taffy apples?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's what it said on the thing anyway. So, but he's...
taffy apples.
He's walking with it, and he's in the car, and while Phoenix is basically getting the jewels, Paddington is lowering himself down with one of them, grabs the book, and then... like drops the other one and makes a sound and he's like, uh-oh. And so Phoenix, distracted, is not paying attention, gets bumped and everything seals again. So now he does need the book. Because at first I was like, fine, let Paddington have the book. You have the treasure. Who cares?
You got the treasure.
But when it closes again, he needs it back.
Right.
So he's chasing after Paddington.
He starts hitting the buttons again and all becomes a Simon game.
Yeah.
It farts at him when it doesn't get to the wrong note.
Yeah. And so then the Browns are there, and they manage to get on board the right train. And so they're trying to get through and help him, or help Paddington. And it's basically just kind of a, they're rushing towards different ends of the trains trying to stop him. He traps the family. He gets the book back from Paddington, locks Paddington in the caboose, and then...
Yeah.
What
they didn't tell you is that the kid actually stole the Snowpiercer train.
That's
what it was.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yep.
And so for 70 years, he just will go around the world. him and Sally Hawkins.
That's right.
And her fish
husband. Right, folks. Snowpiercer is in the Paddington universe.
Snow Paddington.
You heard it right here, folks.
The train car that Paddington was in, so the other two go off down these other tracks. Paddington's caboose car goes off on a different one because Phoenix switches the tracks. Well, it goes off over like a dead end and into a lake. And so it's just sitting.
Yeah.
It's sinking. So Jonathan stops the train and Mrs. Brown jumps into the water. She's using her swimming that they talked about. She jumps into the water.
That she learned from her fish husband.
Yes. Well, now, okay, so interesting story. She just came off of filming Shape of Water. And with all these underwater scenes she had done and was like, they were talking to her about this. And she's like, oh, yeah, I was excited. Basically, I had just done all this underwater stuff, was done doing the water stuff. Was okay being as far away from water as I could be for, you know, as long time as possible. And then she realized she was in a scene where she was going to have to be underwater again.
I think on the bright side, they're like, but you do have dialogue in this movie. She's like, oh, crap, I got to learn lines.
Oh, she had dialogue in the other
not
one.
Not much, but...
Oh, well, yeah, she did. It was just in sign language.
Yeah, just in sign language.
Just in a different language.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. I meant, like, speaking lines.
Yeah. God, I think that would almost be harder.
Oh, I agree.
To remember all the sign lines.
I agree.
So she dives in. She realizes she cannot get the door open. It's chained part of the way. So she can just get it wide enough so that she can hold his hand. And it's kind of like Paddington's going to drown.
Oh,
this is awkward.
This is very awkward.
But then all of a sudden you see something on top of the water.
The end.
The end. Paddington's dead. The Paddington 3, Paddington Returns.
Paddington 3, The Funeral.
Paddington 3, Paddington Goes to Hell. followed by Paddington Takes Manhattan. You see something on top of the water, and then you hear Brendan Gleeson go, "Let's go, boys!"
Hey, guys, where's Times Square?
And so they dive in. So they were flying overhead,
trying to escape,
and they saw all the stuff going down. So they decide to stop and help. And so they get down there and they rescue Paddington. They get up there and they end up, I think Phoenix is trying to get away, but the dad, who used to be, like, they mentioned just an offhanded comment about how he used to be, like, a great at, like, a throwing a ball.
Like a ball for the carnival games.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, I haven't had my arm for years. Well, now he does. Yeah. He throws it, knocks Phoenix out. That kind of
seemed a little tacked on.
It was. But it was okay.
But it was okay.
I think it was because before, all Dad got to do was he got to use his yoga.
Yeah, I mean, Dad really kind of was like... Dad
kind
of
got shafted on his things.
Yeah, Mom was a little bit more detective mode than Dad.
Yeah. But they end up getting the book back. They stop Phoenix. Paddington gets exonerated, so he's free.
Yes.
And he, Phoenix gets arrested. So they go back home and they're like, hey, he gets sick and he's basically out for like 3 days.
3 days.
But the whole town, the whole neighborhood comes out to
see
him.
In bear terms, that's called hibernation.
So when he wakes up, the whole city comes to see him.
Yes.
Or the whole neighborhood. And they're saying like, oh, well, he's like, wait, it's 3 days. He's like, I missed Aunt Sally's Aunt Lucy's birthday. She woke up and she had nothing, you know, because I didn't get anything to her. And he feels really bad. And they were like, look, the book now is part of evidence. So you couldn't have ever had it even if you wanted it.
Yeah, right.
They're like, but we thought we would do the next best thing from you.
Was Capaldi
sending
in here? I didn't really see if he was.
I don't know. I didn't see him.
He was. There's a good scene with the dad where he was all like, because Paddington cares about people.
Yeah.
Which I kind of got a little choked up about.
Yeah. And the whole town helps him. Yeah. Anyway, but so we find out that they brought Aunt Lucy here. So he gets reunited with Aunt Lucy.
Yeah, the doorbell rings.
Yeah.
Open.
Yeah, she's big too. I was like,
she a big bear.
She a big bear. Aunt Lucy.
How many marmalade sandwiches have you been eating, girl?
She beef. The
she be girl.
So, but
you
know
what, big girl, you are beautiful.
Anyway, but so we get that. We kind of get a little epilogue about what's going on. We see
Phoenix in jail.
Phoenix goes to jail,
which is the name of a spinoff. Phoenix goes to jail.
Yes, we see that Knuckles and the other two guys. Basically, for saving everybody or saving him and for, like, good behavior and being good people, they are released early. And he opens a marmalade cafe where they could do that, which I think Paddington is working with him.
And then Phoenix changes the jail into an all-gay jail.
Yes.
Am I right? with a burlesque kind of show.
He does his show. Like, he was going to do it by himself before. Now it's like a musical with the entire jail combined with it.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
I almost didn't need that at the end.
I kind of did because I wanted something even a little bit more fun. I was okay with it because I got to see Hugh Grant do another fun thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's fine, but yeah, you know,
It was really good. It was divine.
Oh, it was divine, Brown. You've been deuced on that one, right?
Yes.
All right. So that's what we thought of it, but let's hear what other people thought of it, Jeremy, shall we?
Yes.
This person is Hannah Jody. They gave it a 10 out of 10. Stellar film for all of the family. Paddington 2 did not disappoint. The cast is stellar. The characters are very likable. This film is for both adults and children, and as it has the appropriate humor, spelled the British way, at the right time. Plot is also very good and delivered very well, and all the actors are brilliant. This film is not a waste of time and is better than the first one. This one is aimed at a wider range of audience. This person is Wolfstar IMDb. They gave it a 4 out of 10. This is probably the lowest score I could find. I could not really find a lot of low scores.
Yeah.
About this movie. A bad children's movie, cynical, overplotted, full of unearned sentiment and eye-rolling formulaic character arc. And that's just the title, by the way. This is, oh no, this is the wrong review. I didn't want to read that one. But you know what? That's what they said about it. So they said this is an overplotted cash cow that represents the worst of modern formulaic screenwriting as it hits every plot beat with thundering efficiency. It's stupid what they say.
Yeah.
They're saying that this is a cynical, overplotted movie, which is very not true. I don't know what movie that they watched.
They said it was cynical?
Yes.
How? This is how?
Anything but cynical.
How is this any...
Their review is cynical.
Ridiculous.
If this movie is cynical, I'm, you know, Leah Thompson from Back to the Future. I don't know why I chose her. I just did, okay? Get over it. This movie is not cynical. This movie is very much in vein of what we need more of in our movies.
Yeah.
And what we need more of in life. And it is helping your fellow man, even if you are a bear.
You know, like...
Do you know what I mean?
And I would feel comfortable watching this movie with other adults, or I would feel comfortable watching it with children.
With children?
I'd feel like...
I would say sit down and watch this movie.
Yeah, I could watch it on my own. I could watch it with a group. I mean, I think that...
This movie could cheer me up at any time. Like, yeah. I could watch it if I'm down or
yes.
if I'm feeling sick or whatever. It would cheer me up in a heartbeat. It would.
Agreed.
There's nothing cynical about this movie.
Agreed.
I don't know what that person was thinking.
No.
But we should do our five questions.
So what was your favorite part of this movie?
Well, the cynicism is my favorite part. I touched on it earlier, but the surprises that this movie does bring when you're watching it. You think it's going to go one way, and it goes a different way. Or you think they're going to show you this plot this way, and they put in different graphics, or they put in different animation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You think that the plot's going to go this way, you know, and for the most part it does, but like how they show you it is so interesting and so... like eye-opening that it's so refreshing.
Yeah.
Like this is the movie, like the whole plot isn't that complicated.
Yeah.
It's not that complicated of a plot, and it's very, we've seen it done over and over again, but it's very refreshing to see it done this way. And so that's what I like about this movie.
Yeah. I think.
And Hugh Grant. I thought Hugh Grant was amazing in this movie.
Yeah, Hugh Grant.
And the voice of Paddington, the guy that does the voice of Paddington.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Ben Wish.
Yes.
Yeah. What's his name? Wish.
Sure. The guy from Cloud Atlas.
Who was in a movie.
Was in a movie with Hugh Grant.
Ben Whishaw, where he was in a movie or a TV series.
Yeah.
Like it was on Amazon.
A little British Scandal, is that what it was called?
Yes. Yeah, where Hugh Grant was romantically involved with Hugh Grant.
So what did you tell me?
That, see, Hugh Grant does like bears.
Which is funny because the guy is a twink. I mean, he's a twink.
Yeah.
But he got to play a bear for once. But
yeah, there you go. So I think my favorite part, while I do like Hugh Grant, I think my favorite part is there's a lot of good subtle showing of the impact that Paddington has.
Yeah.
Sometimes when they show the impact Paddington has, it's over the top. We talked about the prison scene, and while it's good... It's pretty over the top that all of a sudden there's like flowers everywhere and everything's, you know.
Yeah.
And you see him doing good things.
And also you had a budget to get the flowers, but you had a budget to get better like uniforms for these people.
Yeah, they're still pink. So, but I think the things that really got me and that spoke to me were like the indirect way they were showed. Like that second scene where everybody's in a bad mood because Paddington's no longer there.
Yes.
To fill in those gaps.
That had
for
more
them.
Impact on me.
Because I was like, because usually you see those things happen the other way.
Yeah.
Like where he cheers them up. But when he's gone, the absence of him is, I felt that much more. I was like, wow, that's so great. Or like.
Then when the neighbors got together and pushed the car, which is a great scene.
Yeah.
Which I almost teared up on.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
That and the ending. Are moments where people are going to cry. They might.
I mean, they might. They don't talk about it. They don't say anything really that explicit about it. But so when Paddington washes the windows on on Colonel Lancaster's house, and the thing with, like, you see his depression kind of lift, or that, like, his gloominess lift, right? I thought that was beautifully done. I thought that, you know, Ben Miller played that really well. But the thing that got me, and that I was like, oh my God, I love it, was it was almost subtle, where at first you see he goes to the window and where he waves to Miss Kitts. And then later, one character, one of the Browns, is just talking to them at the newsstand. And all of a sudden, Colonel Lancaster is standing in there with Miss Kitts.
So not only is he outside, but he's with her.
Yes.
Inside.
And then
helping her.
Then there's some other thing you see where they're just kind of together again. And then when Peter Capaldi's character is yelling about that Paddington has escaped, and everybody's turning their windows on and, like, looking outside, and you see when the light turns on and you see Colonel Lancaster at the window, Miss Kitts is there with him, insinuating she is staying at his house. And so I was but it's just like, it's this very sweet, like,
no, it is.
It's very they weren't sweet. Like, hey, let me introduce you to, you know, and, like, do this ham-fisted introduction and have them together. We don't even talk about their relationship. It's not a focus. It's whatever. But you can see this, like, slow impact that he's had.
Very British to me. And that's what, like, I don't know why, but, like, I have a tendency to gravitate towards that kind of storytelling, which it doesn't seem to be force-fed.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really enjoyed this. Yep. Go ahead. What was there?
Okay.
Number two?
Yeah, so...
Number two?
So, would you reboot, continue, or cancel? God, I couldn't think of that word.
I don't know why. If they have a Paddington 3 that comes out, I'm there. I want everything to do about this movie.
Yeah.
We need more movies like this and more storytelling. If the director comes back, I think it's got to be the right director, too. Like, I can't have, like, I think Tim Burton would freaking ruin this movie. I think certain people would just ruin this movie. I need that director who's done the first two movies to do a third Paddington 3. Okay.
So if Alfonso Cuarón comes in and
says, no, fuck that,
I want to do the third Paddington movie.
He gets trapped. It's the Revenant, and he's the...
We just spin for hours in space.
No, I just think that, like, if it's that director and this cast... I'm down for another Paddington.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah, I say continue.
Continue this.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, I don't want it to go to the point where it's like, you know, Paddington 15 and, like, it's,
no, but or I there say a bunch make, of,
I don't even want, like, direct to video stuff. Like,
no, but just I
give
say
us
make
one
a,
more quality Paddington.
Or make a TV series that has a little 21 minute lessons.
Well, but okay, if it's, well, and think about, though, if it's British, you're probably either going to get, like, six short ones, or you're really just going to get, like, three, you know, hour and a half movies. Right.
Either way, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Expanding the universe.
Yeah. So,
I don't want a Paddington 15. We don't need that. You're right. But another Paddington, it's fine.
That's why I'm like, just give me one quality, one more quality movie, and you can put it to bed,
and then boom,
and I would be fine.
Trilogy.
Yeah, agreed. Does this make you want to see the first one?
Absolutely. It makes me want to watch the first one. This movie is so delightful, so whimsical, so wonderful in how it tells the story, that I'm going to assume the first one probably is the same way.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to see it.
But everything I've heard is that the first one is not as good as this one.
But
I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
It's to me, if it's like X-Men and X-Men 2, X-Men 2 was clearly a better product, but I still enjoy X-Men 1 with all its flaws and with all of its, like, foibles. I enjoy it still, just not as much as X-Men 2. And I have a feeling this one is going to be like that, where I'll still enjoy it, but it's not going to beat Paddington 2.
Agreed. And you used my favorite word, foibles. So I have to
agree. I know you did. That's Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. My second favorite word is ellipsoidal.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Okay, so the do you think this movie stands on its own?
No, there's moments where I was like, who's that?
Yeah.
The family, how did he come? Like, if I don't know the story of Paddington Bear, how did he come into this family?
Yeah.
Why is he just accepted in this community? He's just very, you know, inclusively. No, this movie does not stand on its own. Having said that, it doesn't need to stand on its own in order to be a good quality movie, because you are enjoying the movie in itself.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot that you need for the first movie to quite enjoy this movie, but it doesn't fully stand on its own.
Yes. And you know, it's... And we've talked about this, where some of the best movies or the best sequels, they don't stand on their own, because they don't waste that time having to retell the story. The first story was solid enough that they can build the world on top of that one, but still tell a good quality story.
Right. And then there's crap movies that just forget about and are not even supposed to be a sequel. And then they just tack on, like, American Psycho 2.
I was going to say, and then Mila Kunis comes in and just, like, rando.
You know, but also, like, this is an 80-second episode. You know when a movie doesn't have to rely on the first movie fully, but you know that you're missing something.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad movie because of it. It almost benefits because of that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, okay, so we have very few films that we've seen where we have not seen the first.
Yeah, this is one of them.
And, you know, it's interesting. Like, I always think of Pitch Perfect 2, where we were like, were those other girls in there? Sure. Yeah, those same girls were in there. And then we realized, no, they weren't. They were not in the first movie. Like, we're just talking bullshit, and hopefully people weren't like, oh, you idiots. But, like, you know, that happens. Like, it's rare that you and I, neither of us, have seen something with this. And this is one of these movies neither of us have seen the first one. And so we don't really know. So, like, I don't know if certain things are explained. Or, like, maybe Peter Capaldi was a nice guy in the first movie and Paddington ate his cat. I don't know what's going on. So, like,
it was. I read the plot. That's exactly why.
Was it?
No.
But, you know, we don't know. So is that just a rando character, or is it there's something actually happening?
Who knows?
Okay, last question.
Sure.
Some of your experience up in
Shock
Keywords.
It to me.
What's Shock that? It to me.
Whimsical. Is artwork one word? Or whimsical art. Whimsical artist. Okay. Or whimsical something artistic. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's just something very artistic.
Artful whimsy.
Something, but this is also whimsical. It's very, like, it makes you want to be a child again, but doesn't talk down to you or doesn't talk up to you. It just, it makes you reminisce about you being a child, but not cater or pander to you in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah.
But it does it in a very artistic way. And I feel like we're going to get the same aspect when we watch probably Mary Poppins, like Returns.
I agree.
I feel like it kind of that feeling of not like it's taking nostalgia and doing it correctly. So many times we watch these movies where they're taking something from the past and they're kind of just hand fisting it. You know what I mean? So this actually takes nostalgia. And like, really, I didn't really have that much love for Paddington 2. Or Paddington, not Paddington 2, but Paddington the cartoon.
Yeah.
But I love this movie.
You know who's
by far, by far, top 10 movies of the year.
You know who's in Mary Poppins 2?
Go ahead.
Ben Whishaw.
Yes. And I'm going to assume that that's why. No, is he Michael? Michael
Banks?
Yeah,
he's Michael Banks. You know, I think.
Do you know what I mean, though? Like, it's very, like, artistically, but wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, it gives you a good feeling, but doesn't, like, it doesn't over, it's not, like, doesn't give you diabetes from being too sweet.
Yeah. I think for my two words, I think I'm going to say secret hope. Like, it seems
secret
like
hope.
I guess I don't know the word I want to look for.
Right. Like, it's like hard to really describe.
Underplayed hope, maybe. Maybe that's a,
like, what do you mean underplayed?
Like, because I think that this movie delivers so much hopefulness.
Oh, so much.
Like, so much. There's so much hope that it delivers out here but I think that the movie was not marketed that way. And it, like, even if you just take the movie at the very surface level, you don't necessarily see all of that. It's like this kind of, you know, the, you know, stopping the bad guy kind of, you know, a movie that you could still get behind. It's very artfully done. But, like, I think there are these central themes of, like, hope and forgiveness and things like that, that it doesn't focus on, that you have to kind of read between the lines and
right.
get to.
I think this movie tells you that it's never too late to be nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes. And I think that that's what hit me, was that there was, it's that stuff where I, like, we'd move on to another scene where something was happening.
Yeah.
And I was still thinking about the lieutenant, or we were moving on a scene to something, and I was thinking about like the family who was, you know, trying to do something for one another, or, like, you know, the prisoners who now were seeing something for the first time. Like, there were things that I focused on where I was like, wow, like, you know, that stuck with me, even though we were on doing something else. So it was fun, not like goofy over the top, but it was still fun, you know, but the hope stuck with me.
Well, and I think a lot of the, when I'm being artistic wise, I mean, this guy really plays with color, and not just necessarily into the color of the animation, but just in the color in general of the characters themselves.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? How, like, they look like they're depressed when they are, or, like, you know, like, the stuff didn't start happening in the jail until their uniforms turned pink.
Yeah.
You know, a very fun color. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's when things started turning around, in a way. So he plays with colors very nice, and so wonderfully and so artistically. So I think that's the reason why I said that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But yes, through that brings hope, because hope for me is very colorful and very, you know, dynamic in that. And that's what this movie is. Colorful and dynamic. Jeremy, where can people find us? The Deuce Podcast. Aren't we on Twitter? Don't we tweet?
Tweet. People can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on iTunes.
Should we tweet pictures of our Ampersand Studios?
No.
We won't do that.
Once the work in progress is done.
No, I just meant, like, the Ampersand itself.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
So, but... iTunes,
Stitcher, Google Play. Did I say Stitcher?
I just had to remember where I was.
Google Play, Podbean. We're members of Podbean.
What
are we?
Well, yeah, I already did that one. But then we also have nofonynetwork.com.
Oh, yeah. Who's the featured podcast this month?
I don't know. Somebody.
Oh, somebody. Those assholes.
I tried to do an interview with them, and they were, you know, jerks about it. You can also find us on Twitter. So we will often tweet things through there, but we'll retweet some of our No Phony Podcast Network mates as well.
Companions. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays from the Deuce. Well, we are going to do what?
Go ahead. Twitter is at Deuce Podcast. Just make sure I say that.
Yes, but we do wish you a happy holidays and Merry Christmas and all that. All that jazz, right?
And all that jazz.
Thank you, BB Newworth. There you you guys got a free BB Newworth impression. How many podcasts give you a free BB Newworth impression? Huh? I don't think so.
A few of them. Free BB Newworth impressions. Yes.
Let's see you do that, Serial Season 3. Anyway, okay. what do we got coming up with in the new year? We got, we are going to go see Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back with a, hopefully not a spoiler, episode of Mary Poppins.
Yes. So
kind of like when we did The Incredibles.
Incredibles 2. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mary Poppins Returns is coming up. In the new year, I still have to get some scheduling down and things like that. I know we've talked about doing, like, a kaiju movie mini marathon So a few like, you know, Monster Rampage movies.
Does that mean like Pacific Uprising, whatever that movie is?
Yeah, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Yeah, Rim.
Yeah. I know like, yeah, we have a few of them.
How did I forget the Rim part of that? I don't know. Okay. Well, remember, folks, the sequel is king.
Shake, Sonora, shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora, shake it all the time. Walk, 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 Sonora, walk your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora, shake it all the time. My girlfriend name is Sonora, I tell your friends I adore her. And when she dances, oh brother, she is a hurricane in all kind of weather. Jump in the line, shake your body and jump with the line. Jump in the line, shake your body and jump with the line. Jump in the line, shake your body and jump with the line. Jump in the line, shake your body and jump with the line. Shake, 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 Sonora, shake your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora, shake it all the time. Walk, 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 Sonora, walk your body line. Shake, 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 Sonora, shake your body line. Talk about chat.